have nothing to say and you have no message. Now, what's really bad is when you don't have any clothes on and you have no message. Fortunately, I have clothes on, but I didn't have a sure word this morning. And I did. I wanted to say, Lord, what do I say to the girls on my 63rd birthday? And I thought maybe you'd let me tell you a story, my favorite story. I mean, there's moments in your life where things and events happen. But this was something that did teach me a lesson. And I want to just, you've heard it, many of you, it's serpents and duct tapes. How many of you have heard that? How many of you have heard serpents and duct tapes? Wow. Okay. Because if there's one thing I'm going to pass on my 63rd birthday to you, let the older women teach the younger women, right? To love their husbands, love their children, be obedient, chaste, discreet, that the word of God would not be blasphemed. And from the beginning of this career of mine with Jesus, when I was 27 years old and I came back to the Lord in Santa Barbara and just a mess, too much history, too much junk, too much everything, you know? And when I came back to the Lord and God just started doing miracles in my life and opening doors for me to have a place to live because I had nowhere to live. I had a little 8-year-old daughter and I was a single mom and my ex-husband had divorced me, and it's a long story. But anyway, there have been defining moments in my life since I was 27. Now I'm 63. So what is that, 46 years? I don't know. What is that? 36 years ago. And this is one of those defining moments. And I want to just tell you the story of it. Is that all right? So I'm just going to tell you a story. But if there's one thing that I could pass on my 63rd birthday, and I don't have my sword and I don't have my shield, I would tell you, and I love what Jess did this morning. Jess, I'm so proud of you. One generation shall praise your name to the next. And your generation has caught the fire. And I know I'll be in heaven and just cheering you on and cheering on my grandkids and my great-great-grandkids if the Lord tarries. Because this is such a reality, girls. Girlfriends is here, and it's called a service. It's for women only, but it's called a service because we teach the word here, and it's the word of God that has the power to change us. When Jesus saves us, he puts a new nature in us. He gives us the ability to change by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's called grace, God's power in me to do what his truth demands of me. Hello? He opens our eyes so we can see what we couldn't see before, because even though we're in this world, we're not of it, and this natural world is all we know. We grow up in it. We live in it. We're in clay tents so that we can inhabit this world, right? It's the corporeal, the physical world. But the word of God is extremely clear that the invisible world created the physical world. So there's a greater reality than what we can see with our eyes, hear with our ears, touch with our flesh, smell with our noses, all the physical senses. There's something far more going on. And now at 63, I can look back over 36 years and I've got landmarks and things that God did in my life. And if there's one thing today that I could pass on to you, it is that there is a real war going on where we cannot see it, and that we are trained to fight in the natural, but God has trained his women and wants, and that's what pastors do, women pastors, God wants us to raise up an army of women that will learn how to fight in the supernatural realm, because that is where the battle is won. That's where it's won. We are not wrestling against flesh and blood, but we are wrestling against powers, principalities in high places that you can't see. And in your natural self, you and I are no match for these invisible forces. But we are not in ourselves anymore. It's now Christ in me, the hope of glory. We are not now wrestling and trying to make something happen. Now, if we could get this, if the penny could drop, if you could get this, we are not trying to make something happen. We are now ambassadors, daughters of the King, who have been chosen by God, handpicked before the world began. Don't ask me how that works. I don't, but God says you are predestined, and you are. God knows your name. You are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. If you're born of the Spirit of God, you belong to Jesus and you're a daughter of the King. He has handpicked you to live in this generation, to live in this hour, to live where you're living. And he wants you not to make something happen. Now all I have to do is enforce what he's already done. There's a big difference. I don't have to make it happen. I just have to believe it in and enforce it in the spirit realm. And that means there's some things I got to know. I'm not wrestling with flesh. My husband is not my problem. My children are not my enemies. But I have a real enemy, a very real enemy who hates me. And I have found, according to the Word of God in Proverbs, that the fear of the Lord in chapter 9 is to hate evil. I can't hate people, but I'm allowed to hate evil. And I hate the originator of evil. He is a sworn enemy of mine. I know he has no good thing planned for me, my children, my church, my city, my nation, my world, my planet, or my God. He lives to make God look bad, to deceive people. He's the father of lies. He's the murderer. He was a murderer from the beginning, Jesus said. So it's wise of us as women of God that we learn some things about our enemy and we understand how to fight this war so we can win it. Because at 63, I can stand before you as a living memorial and I can declare to you that God is faithful. God's word can be trusted. And if you will live by his word and do what he says, you will have a successful, amazing life. You will. Because I am nobody special and Jim is nobody special. We are two screw-ups that just screwed up enough to say we don't ever want to go back there and get beat up again. We want to follow Jesus. And we made our lives and covenanted together in marriage that we would follow him together. So this warfare, this enemy that we have, this thing that we fight, there was a moment in time on Mother's Day in the year 2000, I think it was 2003, and we had had guest speakers in the church. John and Helen Burns were speaking, John, and they'd done a phenomenal job. And they were staying with us. We were living in Redlands, and Luke was in high school, and we had a foreign exchange student living with us. His name was Tomas. He was from Hungary. Jess was already out of the house, and so was Kim. And so it was just the two high school boys, one from Hungary and Luke, of course, and Jim and I. But the kids came over every week. I mean, we had a house full of people. We never, ever had an empty house. And so we had this house, and it was just a lovely home. We moved from Ivy Street in Yucaipa, where we had raised the kids when they were, you know, when we started The Rock. And we'd moved to Redlands, and it was a really nice, pretty home. And it had five bedrooms, and it had a living room, and just a nice home in Redlands, in the hills of Redlands. Just a nice home. And this home had a laundry room, and it was long and thin. And at the end of the laundry room, in the front of the house, it was this odd, it was almost like they didn't know what to do with it. It was just this little nothing of a room. It was about 6 feet by 8 feet. It was real tiny, but I made it my workroom because I was doing flowers and silks and crafts and all kinds of things for the church. And I had all my silk flowers set up there, and I had, you know, Jim had built me this little counter. And in this little 8x6 workroom, there was a counter that we had put up. And next to the counter, next to the wall, it'd be like this was the counter right here like this. And it was butting up against this was the wall. You got it? But right here in the wall, there was this hole. And we had never patched it. It was this round hole about the size of maybe two silver dollars. About that big. Okay? You with me? So I'm just describing this to you because I want to tell you what happened. Now, I believe that God is speaking all the time. If you've got your Bibles, go with me. This is one of my favorite verses, and I allude to it all the time, so you've heard me say this. Romans chapter 1, verse 20. And the Holy Spirit talked to me in this verse years ago, and he said, everything is talking to you all the time. Everything. Everything I've created, everything that I've ever made in the universe, I have made to speak to you about this. Because God made everything, did he not? And in Romans chapter 1, verse 20, it says, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen. God says to me, I am speaking through creation every day, all the time, if you'll listen. Because the word says his invisible attributes, what you don't know about him, what you can't see about him, is clearly seen. Does it say that in your Bible? Being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. That means the Holy Spirit, God the Son, and God the Father, the Godhead. So that they are without excuse, speaking of people that are rejecting God. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were they thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and they were foolish, and their hearts were darkened. But let's go back to verse 20. Everything is saying something. And that was a lesson that God taught me early, that if I can just wake up in the morning and I put my ears on, that creation will talk to me. Like the pomegranate I used 2 weeks ago. God made that pomegranate for a reason, to teach us. There's a reason why there's eggs. I mean, how awesome when kids don't understand the Trinity. You can say, well, look, here's an egg. It has a shell, has a yolk, it has an egg white. Oh, how about water? Here's water. To a three-year-old, God is like this water. It can be steam. It can be ice. Or it can be liquid. But it's still water. You see how everything says something. Jesus said that the sower sows the word. And he said the word, when he translated it for the disciples, said the word is the seed. The sower sows the seed. The seed is the word. Inside of a seed, there is what it's supposed to be, right? If I have a orange seed, inside of that orange seed is an orange tree, right? That seed is programmed to grow that tree, is it not? Well, the word of God is a seed, and the promise of that word is already in the word. God's word has the power to bring itself to pass, just like the seed. Are you with me now? So everything says something to me. That opened my heart up early on to live a life of adventure, of hearing from God. Because I listen and I look for things that God is saying all the time. Wherever I am, if I'm on the ocean, if I'm in the mountains, if I'm at home doing the laundry, if I'm watching a movie, I know that my God can speak to me in very unique ways. My little dog, Linus, lots of things. It makes life an adventure. Does that make sense? So this thing that happened to me spoke to me and changed my life. So let me tell you the story, because I've got 10 minutes to tell it. I'm talking about spiritual warfare. Now, I'd already been on my knees praying for the girls because they'd sent me to hell and back, and I'd pulled them out of hell, literally plucked some of them out. I had three daughters, and if you've not heard the testimony, I'm not going to give it today, but the girls gave me a run for my money, and I was shocked thinking, oh, they'll never do that because I had such a rebellious life and they had such wonderful lives with me. They'll never, never, never not choose God, but you see, that's not true. So if your kids are teenagers and they're acting up, don't be shocked because God spoke to me early on and said, listen, I had perfect kids. I gave them a perfect atmosphere. I put them in a perfect home, and they still had to choose from the tree. So were your children. So don't feel guilty about it. Just understand you're in a war and you're going to pull them out where the enemy wants to place them. So don't be feeling guilty about what a lousy parent you are or whatever. That's a bunch of bull. So here I am on Mother's Day, and John Bevere and Jim are, it's Monday now and it's our day off, and Helen wasn't worth them. She had to fly back, and John had spent the night with us, and he and Jim were playing 18 holes of golf. It's about 2003, like I said, Luke and Tomas, they're upstairs in the bedroom. They're off in high school right now. It's during school. It's May. And I'm by myself, and I had to run and hurry up and make a deposit because I was going to bounce a check. So I'm running downstairs with my checkbook, and I'm about to go into my garage, and my garage opens up into the laundry room and from the laundry room into the kitchen. Are you with me? And there as I ran down the stairs with my checkbook in hand, and so late, I looked and the door had blown open. The garage door was open and there was wind, and that had blown the door open from the garage to the laundry room. And lo and behold, there right in front of me was this snake. And it had slithered into the laundry room. Now, I have to tell you that I have established policy. Now, we moved 13 times in 11 years. We didn't own a home for 13 years. We had to pack up and move every year as we pastored. I know what it's like to be broke, and I know what it's like not to have a place to live. And I had read the Word of God, and I had gotten radical. I mean, Jim and I were radical, crazy, fanatical people. Yes, we were. We believed God. We'd been through such hell that we believed what God said. And I would do this every time we moved somewhere. I would actually stake my claim in that house. I'd put oil on the doorposts. I'd cleanse it in the name of Jesus. And I would walk around the perimeter of the house, and I would announce, because I believe God's called me to subdue and have dominion over the earth. And I would announce to the creatures that they were not allowed in my house and that I had a policy. If you were in my home, if you crawled or creeped and you lived outside and you were not invited into my home and you were in my home, you would die. That's the rule. I'm taking dominion. You will die. And I would announce it. I said, now you tell your children and your children's children, I'm only doing this once, but this is how it is. Is it not true, Jess? And so I had a policy. You're in my house, you die. If you're not poisonous and you won't harm anything, if you live in the yard, you may live, but it will be determined by whether I choose to or not. I'd taken dominion. So when I saw this snake crawling into my laundry room, I just went, oh, no. What in the world? And that snake took one look at me. And remember I told you about the little office off of the laundry room? Well, that little office had about a 2-inch gap from the door to the floor. On the bottom of the door. And that snake took one look at me and hightailed it into the office. So I just, my heart's pounding. I want you to know I hate snakes. I do not handle them. I do not like them. I personally believe, this is my assumption theology, but I believe that Satan as a spirit has got to have a host. I believe that. I believe the Word teaches us that, does it not? The demoniac at Gabardine, he said when those demons were being cast out of him, they said, let us go into the pigs, right? Don't send us to the abyss, but let us go into the pigs. And the pigs had enough sense to run off the cliff and kill themselves. Jesus taught that a man, if he's cast, demons are cast out, if he doesn't fill himself back up with the Word of God, that demon will come back with 7 worse demons and his condition will be worse. There has to be a host for a spirit to be able to manifest in this earthly realm because they're spirit. Are you with me? That's my assumption, but I believe the Word will back me up. So I think sometimes sickness and disease, spirits of infirmity. So anyway, I hate snakes because I believe that Satan chose and that serpent agreed to host him. Because when Eve talked to that serpent, she wasn't surprised that she was communicating, was she? So we don't know what was going on before the fall, do we, about dominion. Again, I'm telling you, that's my assumption. But I have an aversion to snakes. I hate them. I never let my children play with them. They never had one as a pet. I just want to make it clear, I am not a snake handler, and I hate them. I have an aversion to them. And my father had enough sense to teach me growing up in the country what to identify a poisonous snake versus a non-poisonous snake. A poisonous snake will have a head like a viper, like a V. It has venom on its sides. Now, I took a look at this snake, and I knew this snake was not poisonous because its head was slim. I didn't know what it was. It was big, but it wasn't poisonous. So when that snake went under that door into my craft room, I was mad. And I called Jim because he's playing golf, and the first thing I did is call my husband because the phone was right there on the wall in the laundry room right next to the office craft room. So I called Jim, and I said, honey, you're not going to believe this. I'm so late, and I was leaving, and I was walking out the door, and the wind blew open the door, and there's this big snake, and he just crawled into the office. And Jim immediately says, Debbie, don't you touch that snake. Don't you go near that snake. Don't you do anything about that snake. I'm calling the office, and I'm going to send a couple of pastors up there to deal with it. You stay away. I know your little mantra about creation. And I said, don't worry. I hate snakes, and I'm not going to do anything. So I hung up the phone, and suddenly I just had a thought. What about my dominion? So I thought, okay, I know it's not poisonous. The least thing I can do is get an empty basket, plastic trash can, and a broom, and I'll sweep it into the trash can, and I'll throw it outside. So I grab a broom, and I empty a trash can out, you know, just the kind of plastic trash cans that we have. And it was big enough to hold a snake so it wouldn't get me. And I went in, and I opened the door of the craft room, and lo and behold, there was a snake, and it was coiled, and it hissed at me. It hissed at me. And I just went, oh, No. You do not know who you are hissing at. And I took my broom and I took my trash can and I tried to sweep that snake into that trash can. But he just looked at me and he hightailed it into the corner of the wall where the hole was. And he went in head first into that wall. Now my instincts, my maternal instincts were right there. And I thought, oh my gosh, if he gets in that wall, he's going to wrap himself into that wall and into that house. And I've got young, tender boys. I know they were seniors. He could be crawling out anytime, any place, anywhere, and getting us. And something came over me, and I just said, oh, God. And he says, you're afraid. And I said, yes, I'm afraid. He says, well, you're going to have to do something about this. I said, I don't want to do anything about it. He says, well, you can't wait for somebody to do something about this. That snake's in your house. What are you going to do? So I just closed my eyes and I grabbed the snake. I grabbed that snake with both hands. Now, I'm holding the snake. And I'm not letting the snake go any farther in. It was a big snake. There was probably at least 3.5 feet of that snake still out. It had wrapped itself around a 2x4. And this is what I learned about snake afterwards, that snakes are one long vertebrae, one long spine, and that snakes have the ability to puff themselves up. That's how vultures and birds of prey can't get them out of the rocks. They'll puff up. Well, that's exactly what this snake started doing in my hands. It started to fill itself with air, and it was puffing up and puffing up and puffing up. And I'm holding this snake with my bare hands, and of course, now the phone is ringing. The phone is ringing, and it's ringing, and it's ringing, and I couldn't answer it. So it stops, and I know it's Jim, and I know Jim is thinking, oh, my gosh, where is she? She didn't listen to me. He's probably got visions of me passed out because of snake bite, you know, snake attack, and I couldn't answer the phone, and it rang again and again, and then it would stop, and I'm holding on to the snake thinking, nobody would believe this. I can't believe I'm doing this. And God spoke to me, and he says, what are you going to do? I said, Lord, I don't know what to do. And he says, use the duct tape. And I said, what? He said, the duct tape. And there on the counter, within my one arm's reach, was a roll of duct tape because I'd been doing some silk flowers. He said, use the duct tape. And I said, okay. So I put the snake in one hand, and I grabbed the duct tape, and I, like that, and I started to wrap that snake in duct tape because I knew if I started to wrap that snake up, the part I was holding, that I could wrap it and wrap it and wrap it and wrap it and wrap it, and then I could pull out the duct tape and I could answer the phone because the phone is still ringing and I know it's my husband. So there I am. There I am. I am wrapping up that snake thinking nobody would believe me. Where is Tomas and Luke with the camera? Because it was during that era with America's Funniest Home Videos, you know, $100,000. I'm thinking this would have to win it. Oh, God, where are those boys when you need them? And I am wrapping up this thing with this duct tape. You know, I'm wrapping it, wrapping it, wrapping it. Man, by the time I was done, that thing looked like Moses' rod. It was standing straight out of that wall. And I'm unraveling the duct tape. And finally, of course, the phone's ringing 50 million times. And I answer the phone. I said, Jim, because I knew it was Jim. I said, you're not going to believe this. He says, Debbie, did you touch that snake? I said, well, oh, honey, you know my little thing about creation. He said, did you touch that snake? And I said, well, yeah, sort of. I said, but hey, listen, I used the duct tape. And he said, what? I said, I kind of wrapped it up in duct tape. And he says, you what? And I told him what I'd done, and he just couldn't believe it. And he says, they are on their way. I want you to leave that snake alone and get out of there, and don't you touch it. I said, okay, honey, okay. So being the obedient wife that I was, the snake is still wrapped around the 2x4. It's half of it sticking out straight out with, you know, silver duct tape. And the Spirit of God spoke to me, and he says, well, are you going to finish the job? I said, oh, Lord, you know what Jim says, I know, but you're going to have to understand that you have to bind the strong man. And you can't wait for somebody else to do what I've called you to do. So I said, okay, God. So I took both hands now, and I put them on that snake. Now it was covered by duct tape, so it wasn't so bad. And I put my two hands on that snake, and I started to pull, and I started to pull, and it got bigger and bigger. And I pulled, and I finally said, in the name of Jesus, you foul snake, you get out of my wall, you get out of my house. I command you to be loosed in the name of Jesus. And that thing just let go. And I pulled that snake out. And I mean to tell you, girls, I wish I had a picture of that snake. Because that snake was half duct taped, and the rest of it was as if he was dead. It's like, my God, what happened to me? They'll never believe it back at the nest. So I took that snake, and I said, I told you, you were not allowed in my home, and you hissed at me, and this is what you get. I took dominion over you, and in the name of Jesus, you are now going in the trash. And I took him outside, and I threw him in the trash can. By then, two of the pastors came over, and they didn't have my merciless mantra about creation, and they uncoiled the duct tape off the snake, and it was a gardener snake, and some of its scales came off, and they put it in a box and dumped it down 2 miles away, and I believe it lived. I didn't care if it did or not, but God was teaching me something about warfare and about the snake, and I want to just tell you the five things that I learned in this little episode. Number one, God told me that conditions in life will cause the winds and the storms to blow open your doors, and the serpent will come in, but he will always let you know. If you're listening, and if you're walking with him, you will see the entrance, and you will know that that snake is there. He will not let that snake. He has no permission to go in unaware, where you don't know what's happening. You will always know. God will make sure that you know they have come in. He said, number two, when they are exposed, we are going to have to deal with them. We're going to have to deal with them as women. We can't wait for our pastors. We can't wait for our husbands. We can't wait for this one or that one. God has called us to be warrior princesses and to be women that stand up in their homes. And just like I created and I caused a shield around my house and I let creation know I took dominion, okay, so maybe somebody might have thought I was a little crazy as I'm walking around and marching around my pool and my yard telling the creation what I think of them, what they're allowed to do and what they're not allowed to do. But I don't care, because death and life is in the power of the tongue. And God says, I've called you to subdue and have dominion over all the earth, and I'm being restored into full rulership with Jesus. Amen? I believe that. I believe that. I believe that I'm not just redeemed, but I'm reconciled back to the Father, and I'm under this amazing restoration process whereby the kingdom of heaven has come unto me, and God wants to move the kingdom to me and through me. Are you with me? When they're exposed, number two, I'm going to have to deal with it. Number three, God will see to it that I have what I need to expel them. It may seem foolish. It may seem like it doesn't make any sense. Use the duct tape. Excuse me, Holy Spirit, use the duct tape. It worked. It was crazy, but it worked, didn't it? And it got that physical snake out of my house. Well, you may think you don't have enough warfare weapons, or you don't have enough strength, or you don't have enough this, but you got more than you need to get that snake out of your house, away from your children, off your marriage, off your finances, off of everything else that wicked serpent wants to slither in and take over. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Everything says something. He told me, God will see to it. I'll see to it that you have what you need to get rid of the snake. And number four, he said, fear will want to stop you. But you're going to have to overcome the fear, and you're going to have to use the name of Jesus, and you will have more than enough power to get that snake dispelled from that area of your life that it's trying to take over. Four things. Number one, God will let you know when the snake has come in. He will tell you it's your duty, it's your job, Princess Warrior, to get rid of the snake. You are a giant killer and a snake killer. Number three, he'll make sure you have what you need to take that snake out. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, fleshly, but mighty through God to the pulling down of every stronghold. And number four, you'll be afraid, but you got to face your fear and you got to walk in faith. And it was the name of Jesus that caused that snake to dislodge from that wall. And girls, when you're afraid in the midnight hour, when your kids are sick, when your kids are going south, when that marriage isn't working, when there's no money to pay the bills, when Satan's raging and roaring at you about who you are and who you're not and how insignificant you are and you're this and you're that, you know what? You've got more than enough to stand up to that snake and say, in the name of Jesus, I command you to shut up and be loosed from my soul, from my home, from my children, from my finances, in the mighty name of Jesus. So, that's my little story. We're done. Go get him, Princess Warrior.